I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the John Kincaid Show.
Hopefully you are having a great, great Saturday. John Kincaid with the Super Bowl 53 special, the John Kincaid Show, here on CBS Sports Radio. If you're used to hearing Ken Carmen at this time, Ken, in his new time slot, will switch to mine tomorrow morning. So you can still catch Ken tomorrow morning, and then we'll go back to normal programming next week. And I appreciate Ken's flexibility and appreciate you hanging out with us as we count down to the biggest game of the year. And it's going to be awesome. It's absolutely going to be awesome. In fact, there's some things you missed this week that we're going to get into coming up. Tom, the fine producer of today's program, will lead us through some of the things you may have missed if you didn't catch all the great coverage coming your way from CBS Sports Radio at Radio Row this week. But I want to start with a little love letter. And it's okay for one guy to appreciate his love and share his love for another. But I want to thank an NFL player who's helped me change as a man. And that's Rob Gronkowski. And Rob, I just want to say to you this. If I had some Sherry's berries or some flowers to give you, I would. But I have a feeling tomorrow's your last game. And I think more than a feeling that tomorrow's your last game. And if it is, I want to thank you. Because what you did is you managed to take a guy who far too often can get a little stodgy, can get a little set in my ways, and you managed to make me loosen up a little bit. I'm a huge fan. And in a time when the NFL is completely devoid of fun, personality, and wanting to, let's just say, let people express who they really are, Rob Gronkowski's a perfect example of going out there and having fun. And he can be an acquired taste for people. But if this is Gronk's last game, oh boy. To me, that would be just horrible. Gronk, congratulations on a great career. I think it's the end for you. I'm reading the tea leaves and think it's the end. I want to ask you, though, out there, and I'm going to ask Matt Chatham about it from Nesson coming up in just a few moments here, a Patriots insider for us. He's got his rings. And he'll join us to talk about the Patriots as they get ready for this Super Bowl in just a few moments. But I want to ask everybody about this in your own mind. And you can share thoughts on Twitter at John Kincaid and at CBS Sports Radio. Would a 5-4 Super Bowl record all time for Tom Brady taint in any way his legacy to you? Would you look at him differently if he's 6-3 in Super Bowls and not 5-4? I'm going to tell you that if Seattle doesn't make a stupid play call on the goal line, he loses another one. And the Patriots don't come away with a win there. To me, 5-4 sounds so much different than 6-3. And if you look at if there was a loss tomorrow, you're talking about losing to Jared Goff and the Rams, losing to Nick Foles and the Eagles, and losing twice to Eli Manning. That's not a real, that won't be something that, let's just say, they will be looking to make front page in the Brady legacy. 5-4 versus 6-3. To me, it sounds completely different. Share some of your thoughts on social media, and we'll take calls on it a little bit later on here in the CBS Sports Radio Super Bowl 53 special, the John Kincaid Show. But our producer, Tom, has been monitoring everything that's been going on this week. Hello, Tom.
What's up, JK?
How you doing, buddy? It's like a reunion for you and me.
For real. It's great. It's great to be back.
It's been a long time now. So this week, people who haven't followed the network all week maybe missed some great, great stuff. And I wanted you to cherry pick some spots for the audience. And you took on the challenge. So lead us through it a little bit. What did we miss this week? Because I probably missed some of it, too.
A lot of good things. First off, I want to start with Tiki and Tierney, who had a couple of the top quarterback prospects up in this upcoming draft on the show this week. Now, Kyler Murray made some news for not giving very good answers on another show, but he gave
Not
giving any answers. He did give Tiki and Tierney an answer, though, however, on which sport he loves more between baseball and football and if he expected to ever even be in this situation.
I say this 100%, you know, with the truth. I love both. I'm not lying to you.
Yeah,
I love both. I've been playing both my whole life since I was 4 years old. And it sucks because, you know, you get to this point, it's like you just got to stop playing one, you know, and it's really all I know, you know. So it's tough, but, you know, I knew that one day this decision would have to come, and it's coming pretty quick.
Did you think you would have this decision prior to your senior season, your last season here at Oklahoma, or was this something – that kind of
both my whole life since I was 4 years old.
Which one do you love?
I say this 100%, you know, with the truth. I love both. And I'm not lying to you.
Yeah,
I love both. I've been playing both my whole life since I was 4 years old. And it sucks because, you know, you get to this point, it's like you just got to stop playing one, you know, and it's really all I know, you know. So it's tough, but, you know, I knew that one day this decision would have to come. And it's coming pretty quick.
Did you think you would have this decision prior to your season?
All right, there we go. So
Not sure what happened there, but
it like doubled up on us though. It looped a little bit, but it's still, we got the idea.
Yep.
I say BS meter went off. Beep, 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 beep. He knows which one he loves more. He knows which one he loves more. You don't love everything the same. That's nonsense. He loves one more. But what he did is he roped the Oakland A's into giving him money. Because he didn't want to make a decision, and now that's what he's pushing. I think he likes football more. I think he likes the acclaim of football. What do you think?
I don't disagree at all. I actually think that this is much more about trying not to blow it, like keep the door open for
baseball
in the A's.
Correct.
And not say anything that legally or otherwise hurts him in that regard. But I agree. He wouldn't have been at Radio Row doing a football junket, essentially, if he wasn't interested in entering the draft.
Amen, amen. What else we got?
All right, we got Dwayne Haskins. Now, he talked to Tiki and Tierney also about if he was ready for this early leap. He came out from Ohio State after only 1 year as a starter. And then he made an interesting comparison about the profile of the Ohio State quarterback job.
I just definitely feel like I was ready to make that jump to the pros, but I also know I have a lot of work to do to keep getting better. But I'm excited for the future, man. I know the sky's the limit for me.
Yeah, you know, when you think about this next level, quarterbacks are the thing. I mean, they're the biggest thing in sports, I think. The money they make, the expectations that are placed upon them, but it's also the pressure. Do you think being a quarterback at Ohio State 1 year prepared you for the pressures that are going to come from being a franchise quarterback somewhere next season?
Yeah, being a quarterback at Ohio State is like kind of being more famous than being the Bengals or the Browns quarterback until Baker came.
But, yeah.
Being in that state, how passionate the fans are, just realizing that, you know, you have the whole state of Ohio counting on you to win the game every Saturday. If you don't win, it's a bad week. So, I mean, kind of just what it is like in the NFL. So I just felt like having the opportunity to learn this year and then also learn my first 2 years behind JT Barrett and watch how he learned and how he dealt with the highs and lows of being a starting quarterback, losing games, winning games, the stuff that you have to go over time and experience.
I don't believe his correlation because, and I think he's, by the way, I think it came off really well with the interviews he was doing on Radio Row. But Tom, I'm going to tell you, there's a difference between taking $10, $20 million from somebody and being expected to perform than getting a scholarship. And being expected to
perform. I couldn't agree more on both of those. I do think he came across well in this interview. I think
he really did.
No idea what he's in for if he thinks that his job at Ohio State's the
same. What if he ends up the Giants?
Or even being the Bengals. I mean, even the example he gave, even if the Bengals draft him and make him their franchise quarterback, it's an entirely different ballgame. And look, at Ohio State, you were supported by an astonishingly good roster. You're going to go to an NFL team that is not going to carry you. You are going to have to carry them.
When you go to Ohio State, you know that every week when you line up, you have 12 regular season games, and you know that 10 of those weeks minimum, you have the better team.
By a mile, too.
By a mile. So, I mean, I don't agree with this correlation there. So, what else did we hear? I like that, though.
All right. Hines Ward on Rome, I thought was maybe the best interview of the entire week.
Rack 'em.
And he had some incredible insight into the Steelers drama, beginning on basically who to blame and how much blame he places on Antonio Brown and all this.
I'm not going to give Antonio Brown a pass. I mean, you're a grown man. They pay you a lot of money. You got to grow up at some point and be like, listen, I got to be held accountable for my actions. I need to be there for my team. But at the same time, some of this stuff falls on Coach Tomlin. You allow some of this stuff to go on. You know, think about Coach Belichick. He sat Malcolm Butler down in the biggest game of them all. A guy who just helped them win a Super Bowl a couple years before that. They don't play that. The culture of the Patriots is what the culture used to be like in Pittsburgh. You rarely ever heard about guys off the field. And especially, you know, when you talk about Ben Roethlisberger having a radio show every week and then calling out guys. We had one motto in Pittsburgh. Keep my name out your mouth in the media.
Huh.
Keep my name out your mouth in the media. And you talk about the brotherhood. If we're brotherhood, come talk to me like a brother, a big brother. Hey, I need you to run through that route. Hey, I need you to do this. You don't have to put it out there to the media. I mean, you got that C on your jersey. You're a captain. Talk to lead the younger guys by not putting them out there in the media about what they should and shouldn't be doing. Come to them like a big brother. Hey, man, I got you. But on this play, I need you to do that.
That's the real. That's keeping it real right there.
Okay, that was awesome. You said you thought that might have been the best. I mean, that's awesome.
Honesty.
And that's candid and honest about his own franchise brand.
Exactly. Who understands the culture better than Hines Ward, the culture in Pittsburgh, and what is supposed to happen?
And he said the key to me was what it used to be.
Bingo.
In Pittsburgh. Wow.
Now,
all that being said,
I caught a second one that was the answer on if there's any hope for reconciliation with these
guys.
Okay. I think it can because you're a grown man. All these guys are 30 and above. You can sit down in the room and say, hey, Jim, I don't like when you did that. I don't like, I appreciate it. I didn't know how you felt that. I apologize. Let's go out there and win a championship. Let's go. Hug each other, move on. So there's still hope that I got. But when AB's not returning, Mr. Rooney's call, I got Mr. Rooney on speed dial. Anytime he calls, hello? Hey, Mr. Rooney. Hey, how you doing?
To this day.
You just don't push Mr. Rooney and send him to the voicemail.
Uh-huh.
That's something you don't do. That's the one call that I think you might need to pick
so
up.
You
if you're
almost
Antonio
never
Brown.
Hear from him in public. When Mr. Rooney sets out and says in public, you know what, this may not be something we can fix. How strong a statement is it from that guy?
That is strong statement because he's not one of those
do
owners.
That.
No, he don't really get involved or come out. But when he says something, darn it, you better listen to it because he's a man of his words. And I just think it's embarrassing being that we just beat the Patriots in the regular season. We're such a great team, and yet here we are, not in the playoffs, and all we're doing is talking about the drama with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I love it. That was fantastic stuff. So you get Tiki and Tyrannan, you get Rome, you got, the DA show doing a great job. I know we have stuff from DA coming up a little bit later on in the show. That was awesome. Great week. Great week on Radio Row. Great job by Tom there getting that all together. I'm going to ask Matt Chatham. He is our Nesson, a Patriots insider. He might just punch me if I say does 5-4 change in any way or potentially taint Tom Brady's legacy. We'll get to it next. Super Bowl special live from Atlanta. It's the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is the John Kincaid Show.
You know our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, that Matt Chatham's going to use here from Nesson, is brought to you by Geico. I got a quick way you can save money, folks. Make the switch to Geico. If you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too, you can get it all at geico.com. I just want to know one thing. First of all, I didn't get to bro hug my man Matt all week long. Didn't see him. I'm very disappointed that has not happened. But I want to make sure, has my adopted hometown of the last 24 years treated you well this week, Matt? Have you enjoyed Atlanta?
Oh, it's been tremendous. A lot of biscuits and gravy, a lot of okra, you know, sort of stuff that I really adore. My parents were from Oklahoma, so don't get to that often. So I'm really had a good time down here.
And it's been a good, the overwhelmingly visiting with friends from around the country and some of the networks and stuff. People have enjoyed the the setup of Atlanta. You've been to a lot of Super Bowls as a player, as a media member. I mean, they've enjoyed the setup, the proximity of everything.
Yeah, everything works, and it all bleeds together. You don't have to get in a shuttle to go from one sort of site area to the next, and that's cool. I mean, whenever you find that out, if you're a media member, that's really kind of what you're looking for. Not a lot of moving around. I can do my job. We can do all the TV shooting without getting on a bus. So
I am
easier than that.
I'm going to start you out with something that I talked about earlier on in the show, and you can clearly say, John, I think you're a moron on this. Do you believe in any way a fourth Super Bowl loss, a 5-4 record, would in any way change Tom Brady's legacy?
Nope, not at all. I call this house money, and I've called that house money for a few years. I think we're sort of past the point where if you were, you know, comparing this guy to whomever else you wanted to do it, he's laps ahead. So, you know, at what speed he moves in that lap, he's 4 or 5 laps ahead. I think it would be irrelevant. The way I like to look at it, too, is I think what we get caught up in, and understandably so, but when you sort of attach a record to a Super Bowl, I think it has a certain sort of connotation to it that you know, it almost as if what have you done in sort of title fights or something like that. I think the better way to look at it is it just happens to be game 19 or game 18. That's all. Your record in game 19 is the big thing is getting to game 19. What happens there? Obviously, it's juice if you do better, but I think when we look at some other guys that we compare them to that have better records once they've gotten there, but then gotten there at no near the number. If you don't call it Super Bowl and you just say, call it game 19, and the guy that kept losing in game 16 and 17 and didn't get there as often can't possibly be the same. It's just, I think in part, it's just staring too hard at the brand. You get here this many times and you've obviously done something right.
When I look at the headlines for this week and the storylines for this week, I've seen a lot of, well, the Patriots just have so much more experience than the Rams. And then I look back to Super Bowl 52, and it was the Patriots have so much more experience than the Eagles. And it was Patriots have so much more experience than the Falcons. And we know how those games came down to the very last teeter-totter of victory. Do you buy anything into Super Bowl experience as a guy who played in them and a guy who's covered them? And has your opinion at all changed on Super Bowl experience mattering?
No, and honestly, it's something that, you know, my opinion probably would have been this is helping me or something, you know. But
right.
I tell you, the one person who harped on it the most that it really didn't matter was actually Coach Belichick. He talked about it a lot and said, you know what, guys, we can go back and I'll show you tape of a first-year player playing great in Super Bowl 32 or whatever. You know, you can find examples of it. What did his experience or lack thereof, you know, matter for him on that day? It doesn't. What matters is how well you play on that day. The one place I would concede or at least argue that I think experience can help you is just getting through the week, doing the best with your time over the course of the long 2 weeks, being a little prepared for that day. But invariably, that may not show up, especially just watching TV or whatever, you know, if a guy navigated that better than the other. You know, maybe management as far as hydration, little things like that because the day's so long. Just the experience of getting through those little particulars. But is it going to invariably mean one team wins or loses now?
He's giving us the inside skinny on his Patriots. Matt Chatham joining us, Nesson and others, as he joins us live from Atlanta Super Bowl 53 coverage on the John Kincaid Show. When you look at the ninth trip to the Super Bowl for Brady and Belichick, is there anything you can point to that said, hey, this is a unique storyline in their ninth trip to the big party?
Well,
that's got to be hard. You got to run out of them at some point.
Yeah, it is. At this point, especially if you've covered them this long, you know these guys that well. I mean, you've turned over every rock. I think the one thing that has been unique or that hasn't necessarily happened for these guys is they haven't had the walk. You know, they haven't had a game where they just came in and dominated. Well, actually, they haven't been beaten badly either. It's been 8 really close games, which is a little bit unusual. I mean, I think I certainly grew up at a time where the Super Bowl was often non-competitive, you know, and
yes.
that ran for many, many, many years where it was like obnoxious. Super Bowls weren't better. But for whatever reason, a team that, you know, through many of those years was quite dominant, you know, winning perfect records and all that stuff, and or even 14s and 2s and 15s and 1s and things like that where they had tons of blowouts throughout the course of the season, got the final game. They'd never done that to anyone. And, well, again, had not had it done to themselves. So I think it would be great. And I sat down with the broadcast team, Scott Zolak and Bob Soshi, and talked a little bit about them doing, again, another Super Bowl here for those guys. And that was sort of their wish as well. They're like, you know, we've done a bunch of these things, but the one thing we haven't had an easy call. We've had heart attack calls every year And it would be great to have something that feels a little more like, for them, the Chargers game a few weeks ago where, you know, it's 35 to whatever at halftime and they get a walk. But it doesn't look like that's going to be the case this week. The Rams look awful good. It'll probably end up being another competitive contest.
If you're standing behind a microphone talking about a Patriots loss after this Super Bowl, what do you think is the most likely storyline that you're addressing and how that defeat happened?
John, I think last year with the Eagles, we learned a lot about some things that don't work. And I know the story was the play of Foles and
sure.
You know, the Philly special and some of that stuff. And those are cool to latch on to. But the more I watched that thing back and spent off-season time with that and looked ahead at how some changes they need to make, a lot to me was just those chunk yards they kept giving up on the ground in sub formation. So, like, you know, LeGarrette Blount getting 6 yards on first down is a killer. You know, you don't want to be in second and three. You can't be in third and two. And there was too many just easy, you know, he blows through the line of scrimmage. He's making his first cut in the linebacker level. You just can't have that. And I'm saying if for some reason Todd Gurley's just getting easy yards, if it's CJ Anderson or whatever it may be, I know it's not, and I always am careful to say this because it's not as if there's some magic run number that if they get to 150, they've lost or something. Like, it's not so much that. It's just the ease with which they move the ball early that, to me, sort of opens the gates for other things. And that's, quite frankly, been an issue with the Patriots and a few of their losses this year, but it hasn't in the last 5-6 weeks about that much. But one thing I would look back to, though, the change that kind of helped them was getting out of some of the sub stuff, and sub just being like the nickel stuff where you have more defensive backs on the field than big guys up front and linebackers and stuff. And against the Eagles, they went that way a year ago. There was a lot of that six-man box
sure.
stuff where you're a little lighter in the front, you're playing sort of pass to run. And I really think there has to be a commitment here to keep Todd Gurley from going off. You know, fix that first and then worry about the other stuff later. So, yeah, my best guess is if it didn't go their way, it would have been a rough game for them in stopping the run.
All right, I got like 30 seconds. How have the Patriots kept this from getting blasé and from getting old hat and stay as motivated year after year?
They legitimately believe that each year is a new team. This is not the Patriots continuing to win games, them flying through time together. It's a new group. And in fairness, usually, you know, a third of the room is new to this. And they believe that it's a new try, new group of guys, handful of them for whom it's a new experience. And they come back with just the same appetite. It's rare to find it, but they figure out a way to do that.
Sort of like you attack the broadcasting business, see? It's very, very similar. So there you go. Matt, I appreciate your time all season long, and thanks for great coverage. And we'll look forward to hearing more from you during the offseason. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Enjoy the game. Bye-bye.
There you go, man. Matt Chatham from Nesson. Make sure. And last year before the Eagles and the Patriots played, him and I had a back and forth over whether the Eagles were going to win or the Patriots were going to win and everything. And it's so funny because I've listened back to it. And where he told me the vulnerabilities were for the Patriots is exactly how the Eagles won the game. And he didn't think the Eagles were going to win the game, but he did say, well, if this happens and this happens, I think they can lose. And he was exactly right. Now, Peter Schwartz is one of those same kind of like football insiders that brings us all this
insider.
Kind of thing. How are you feeling about tomorrow's game? Because you're about to exit this show. We get a yeah. shift change right in the middle of the John Kincaid Show Super Bowl special. So I want you just 20 seconds. What do you see happening tomorrow?
I think the Patriots are going to win this game comfortably. I think the only way the Rams have a chance to win is to get the pressure on Brady early in the game. If they don't get anywhere close to him, I think this game could be over before Maroon 5 gets on the stage.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now that's bold.
Yeah.
That is bold and beautiful. I like that.
I just don't see how the Rams can keep up with the Pats if they don't make Brady's life miserable. All you have to do is follow the blueprint for any of the playoff games the Pats have lost, and that's how you beat them. And if the Rams can do that, then I think they have a chance. If not, they have zero chance.
Excellent. Russell Baxter has the kind of numbers and insights that, from a historical perspective, that tell you what to look forward to in Super Bowl 53. He'll share them with us next on the John Kincaid Show, special Saturday edition of the John Kincaid Show, our Super Bowl 53 special, coming to you live from Atlanta.
This is the John Kincaid Show.
I'm telling you, there's a certain level of history to a Super Bowl. Perspective on what's happened in the past, whether anything that you learn can be applied to the future. And it's the John Kincaid Show Super Bowl 53 special, where we're joined by Russell Baxter, pro football guru, and more. I think he's published everywhere, is honestly. You can find his stuff. And if you follow along on Twitter, you can always link to it all. And he joins us now. It's another Super Bowl special and another appearance by Russell Baxter. Something feels right with the world to me, Russell.
Yes, very much so. And, you know, I had the great pleasure of finally meeting you face-to-face in New York 5 years ago at the
Yes.
Super Bowl, when Denver and Seattle played. And it was so much fun because, like me, you have such exuberance and enthusiasm for what you do. And I think there's a lot to be said for that in our profession.
Now, as you look at this matchup, is there anything in a historical perspective that means anything to the game that's going to be played tomorrow? Does anything that happened in the past find a predictive index or anything that relates to tomorrow's game?
I don't think so. It's funny. You have one franchise here that, you know, in the Rams, in terms of the Super Bowl era, actually has a losing record. And when it comes to the Patriots, whether Patriot fans want to kind of block out the early days, historically, they're 5-5 in the Super Bowl. You know, you've got Tom Brady, who has been in a bunch of these things with Bill Belichick. You know, I don't think there's necessarily a history thing. Even recently, we have seen, you know, if you look, John, at the overall turnover differential number in Super Bowl history, it's mind-boggling. It's, you know, high 90s, plus 90 and change, I should say. But even in the last few years, it hasn't been necessarily the team that makes the most mistakes winds up losing. We haven't seen a bevy of mistakes in the recent Super Bowls. You know, a couple years ago, Tom Brady threw a pick six against Atlanta. As it turned out, it was the first and only time a team got away with throwing a pick six in the Super Bowl and coming back and winning the game. So a lot of the old historic stuff is slowly biting the dust. One thing I know about these playoffs, though, you better hold on to the football because time of possession has been crucial.
Okay, now time of possession, I've heard that. Now, there are teams that back in the years where people would talk about, like the Buffalo Bills, they'd put mm-hmm. so much strain on their defense because they'd score so fast, you know, right. and they'd have to try to survive it. Why, do you believe there's a reason that time of possession is now becoming important again?
Well, I think in this season where defense took a holiday for about 3 months, I think it's the way the teams are playing defense right now. There's not really an exceptional defense in the league right now. Okay, listen, you know, Baltimore had a little bit of a stretch and Houston was okay and maybe Chicago is coming and so on. But, you know, we don't have the Broncos of 2015 or the Seahawks of 2013 and certainly not the Ravens of 2000 hanging around anymore. So I think in order to keep your defense off the field, you run the football, and you run it with persistency. And that's why I wrote a piece earlier in this week. The winner of this Super Bowl, John, cue up tubular bells. You're going to need an exorcist.
Man, I'm telling you, because this is a – I'm looking at both of these teams, mm-hmm. and when they talk about experience factor, Belichick versus McKay, you know, even though they're not, you know, actually playing, you know, chess on a board against each other, they actually are. And then people talk about the quarterbacks and their inexperience. I wonder if Jared Goff has got it in him to be able to duel a guy like Tom Brady. But I saw Nick Foles do it last year.
Yeah, it's funny. I wrote about Super Bowl experience as well. Is that going to be a factor? And the odd thing about this is we know the Patriots in these last eight Super Bowls have not exactly had a great time of it in the first quarter. They haven't gotten horribly behind, but they've struggled to score points. Meanwhile, the Rams were actually down to the Cowboys in the first quarter of the playoff game, and they were down 13-0 to the Saints in the NFC title game and came back. So I still think Super Bowl jitters can be something to keep an eye on, especially for a younger quarterback like a Jared Goff and a team that has kind of been a little slow out of the gate. You know, now, but the Rams have also proven that comeback ability. So I think it's only natural to be nervous. You know, who's to say that Sony Michel is not going to be nervous? He's obviously a rookie playing in this game. So Could a team self-destruct itself and dig itself a little bit of a hole here early? We know if it's the Rams, there's certainly uncertainty. We know if it's the Patriots, well, we've done this before. So
I know that I was sitting down, and we got to do an hour yesterday on my local show in Atlanta, Buck and Kincaid, with Chris Mortensen in person. He's part of our show every Friday, but he comes to Radio Row and sits with us. I know your love of Mort, and while we're talking, here's Tom Jackson of sending him pictures from like Hawaii, sending him pictures like hope you're not too cold in Atlanta, you know, giving him grief. You've worked with some legends in the industry over the years. You really have.
So very, very fortunate, and I'm sure 2 weeks ago, if you saw primetime on Sunday night, Boomer and Tommy were reunited again. And fortunately, Saturday afternoon, John, I was able to spend some time with them together and do a lot of laughing and so on. And, yeah, I got to see Mort in Canton this year, and I'm hoping he'll be there again this year as well. You know, I've called him the funniest human being I've ever met.
And people don't believe it. They don't know it.
Oh, my God.
He is really funny, and he will take you out. Mort will take you out. Don't you better get your facts straight, or you're going to have an argument. He's got it. He's coming for you.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, such a kind man, but hysterically funny. That dry sense of humor.
Awesome.
One of the all timers at what he's done. He put the insider, the inside information into ESPN when he got there in the early 90s. They didn't really have to. I mean, they had other people who did rumors and different things like that, but Mort set the standard. He continues to set the standard. But, John, I call my life the longest winning streak in history.
There you know, go.
From
That's
ESPN
awesome.
To CBS and all the different things I've done. I'm like the Forrest Gump of my profession. I turn around and I work with phenomenal people, and I'm like, how did I get here?
Run, Russell. Run. Have a great weekend.
That's one thing that Forrest and I don't have in common, I can tell you that.
Thanks, Russ. Take care, buddy.
All right, talk to you soon.
All right, Super Bowl 53, the Jockey Cage Super Bowl special. Great catching up with Russell Baxter. I don't think running's in his repertoire right now, but, you know, we can get him going there. I do not like one thing about this Super Bowl week, especially that it got hijacked. And that it got hijacked by absolute stupidity, sheer stupidity of the Saint fans and their crying and whining and their conspiracy theories and their lawsuits. The best conspiracy theory of all is, the league really wanted the Los Angeles TV market in. And that's why they made that call at that time. Yes. Okay. So the evil referees are going like this, dudes. Let me just take you inside the huddle because we have official tape of it. Let me get you in there. Hey, guys, there's 2 minutes to go in the game. Looks like the Saints are going to win here. We know that the NFL wants the Rams to go because of the LA TV market. So here's what we do. We're going to ask Sean Payton to call some stupid pass plays when he should be running the football and burning the time. But he's going to play right into our hands. So he's going to throw stupid passes. And you know what we're going to do? We are not, under any circumstances, do you call pass interference? Under any circumstances. Just let the clock stop and make sure that we don't help the Saints do anything. All right? On three. L.A. 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 So dumb. It's just so dumb. Yeah, the NFL would have hated to see Drew Brees versus Tom Brady. That would have been awful for the NFL. The NFL conspired to keep us from that. Wouldn't that have been just atrocious? Nobody would have watched that. And let me give you to my friends on the Bayou. I feel for you. I'm mocking the nonsense that's going on. I promise you this. That loss would anger me for the rest of my life, and I'd hope it angers you too. Because I really do. It would. It would anger me too. So I'm not suggesting that you shouldn't be angry. What I'm suggesting is the stupidity that has followed is idiotic. The commissioner does not come out after games and comment on how poor the officiating is, no matter what the stage, no matter what the game. He doesn't do that. So he wasn't hiding from you. He wasn't trying to do something to screw over the Saints. It's ridiculous. And no, I would not be advocating, yeah, let's hire a lawyer and see if he can overturn the outcome of the game. Because as you saw in the legal wording of the judge, there is no injustice in a sporting event. We saved the legal system for stuff that's real, for stuff that matters. Nothing was fixed. And yes, no matter how you try to spin it, no matter how you conspiracy theorists come up with it, if Sean Payton runs the football three times there in the red zone, three times, kicks the field goal, no timeouts for the Rams, 48 seconds, 49 seconds for Jared Goff to drive them down, get in field goal range where the Rams might have a chance to tie. So could we please stop with the nonsense? It finally is dead, right? We can finally stop this. And let me just give you a hint. I've heard people say, I'm not going to watch the Super Bowl. I'm from New Orleans. I'm not watching the Super Bowl. And I know my friends aren't watching either. Dude, your friends are lying to you. They're lying. They just want you to stop ranting. So they're telling you that they agree with you. People are going to be watching. And it's not going to affect the ratings. It's not a fake Super Bowl. It's going to be awesome. And people are going to watch. You can either watch or not. And guess what? The rest of us in the country, we don't care if you do. But I will say this. There was some absolute jabronis in the media, in their conspiracy theories, that were talking about where the referees live. Their hometowns. Talking about where they're located. They had to move the referees the night of the NFC Championship game, had to move them out of their own hotels just so they would be able to feel safe. People, we've come to the point of idiocy in these sporting events. Stop it. Just stop it. We need to be better than that. We need to be better. Will we be? I'm not optimistic. I'm not optimistic. Our news media has lost its way, and many in the sports media have lost their way. You sound dumb. You sound like you're ranting. You sound like an idiot. I'm just giving you the heads up. And when you start talking about where referees live and you start feeding into the idiots out there, you know what's going to happen? Someone's going to get hurt. And then when someone gets hurt, you're going to say, I didn't mean to give out where they're from. I mean, I that wasn't my intention. I didn't mean for anybody to get hurt. If it happens, it's on you. And know that it's on you over a stupid game. Flat out. Stupid game. You want to sound stupid? Keep coming with this soft take. I'll give it to you in the start of the third hour. Plus a homecoming in Atlanta. All right, halftime. It's a Super Bowl special coming to you live from Atlanta. John Kincaid Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.